Put that up there. I want to read that again. But we all with open face, in other words, we're not hiding anything. We're beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord. That glass, that's the Word of God. You're looking in this mirror of the perfect law of liberty. The laver was lined with women's looking glasses. And that's changing us. We are changed into the same image of Jesus Christ from glory to glory. See, finally we're going to be glorified just like He was glorified. And we've entered into a certain amount of the glory of God, but the more of it we get, the more God changes us, the more this Word of God changes us into the same image. He was the image of God. How would you like to be in the image of God? From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So God's taken us through a process. It's faith to faith, and it's glory to glory. God's changing us, and He's helping us. And so I appreciate this life. There's not a better life, you know, of serving God. You know, I've had a lot of people, I hate it anytime anybody sees a fault in me. But all I can say about it is I'm repenting every time I fall or every time I do wrong. And I'm not going back into sin. I'm going to get up and walk again. And I'm going to keep this process of faith working in my life until I finally reach the place where the Bible says, look at 1 John 3. I'll take up receive an offering and sit down. But it says right here, First John 3, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. I don't think that means when Jesus appears literally. Just because Jesus appeared literally is not going to make you like Him. But when He appears in your life, see, when this image from glory to glory, finally when He's finally fully appeared. This is till we come to the fullness of the stature of the man Christ Jesus. That stature is to finally develop in us. We're to become just like Him. And it doesn't appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith, and I finished my course. He said, there is therefore laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not for me only, but for them also who love His appearing. See, and that's not talking about Him just showing up. That's not going to do that much for you. I know it would be a great experience to see Jesus, but I've met people that seen Him, He's appeared to, and I've seen it didn't fix them. It wasn't fixed up with that. Let me tell you something. When He appears in your character, in your mind, and in your spirit, when you can say like He did, when you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. I am the image of Him. That's what the Scripture tells us. So if you love His appearing, that's what He was actually saying was, He's appeared in me. Jesus has appeared in me, and there's a crown of righteousness. In other words, I'm going to rule and reign with Him. I've been made righteous, and I'm going to rule with Him in righteousness. I'm going to have one of those golden crowns. and be a part of the bride or the man-child, whatever allegory you want to look at. And every man, verse 3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Well, you can't just purify yourself, but it means if you'll continue in faith and remain committed to God and let Him work this work in you, He'll put you through the purifying process. If you'll obey God and stay in it, God will help you, and you will fight the good fight. You'll finish your course. You'll keep the faith. Whoso committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. John's fixing to reveal the truth here. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. You can just mark it down. If you commit a sin, just fess up. Just say, I wasn't in my inner man that I did that. That was that old nature, that old carnal nature that's in me. That's what I fell back into and sinned. Because if you're abiding in Christ, that inner man that's been born in you, you can't sin in that nature. It's a sinless nature. The problem is you can't stay in it until the process of faith, and you go through what God takes you through to finish your course until He's finally glorified in you and you finally are made after His image. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither know Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. You can't commit sin in the inward man. You just get down here and get in a good dose of the Holy Ghost, and I'll promise you, while you're in that condition, you won't sin. You've overcome, you've buried the old man, at least temporarily. But he won't stay buried until your mind and your spirit no longer lines up with that old carnal nature. When we come in here and serve God, we've got an old carnal nature that it's a lot easier for us to go with the old sinful nature than it is to line up with the sinless nature of Jesus Christ. That takes God working in your life and perfecting you and taking you through a process of maturity. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. When you're operating in the old man, you're a child of the devil. When you're operating in this inner man, you're a child of God. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. All right, I guess I better quit. Praise God. It's sure good to see Sister Gaylor back. She's been sick, and aren't we glad she's here? Praise God. I appreciate her being here. Brother Gaylor, keep praying for him. We're wanting him to. He told me the other day, I talked to him on the phone. He said Rebecca told me that she wanted me home. I said, I don't blame her. I said, I wouldn't want to live by myself and try to raise two children. I said, they need their daddy and their husband. I said, let's pray. Let's pray that God would. And He is working on their behalf. We just need to keep the faith. Don't waver. And wait till God says, all right, I'm going to fix this. You know, when we start putting our hands on things and just try to fix everything, y'all realize we're not doing God's will in that? But when we begin to pray and look for God and ask God to help us and patiently wait on Him with, what did that song say? They that wait upon the Lord. I'm expecting God to do something for this family. I believe He is doing something. And I don't care what the eye says, the sees, or what the mind thinks about it. I know there's something going on in the spirit realm that God is doing. And I'm willing to put my faith in that. I don't go by what I see or what I feel. I go by faith. I believe in the Savior. I know what the Scripture says. And so I'm asking God to help the Gaylor family. And I know He will. We'll hold steady. Keep praying. Don't y'all waver, because we're holding on to God with you and for you. And then I see Brother Scotty York back there. Those of you who don't know, that's Brother Jerry's son back there. He goes back long ways. I'm really glad to see you, Brother Scotty. Just a little bitty thing when I first met him. He's a grown man today, and it's good to see him here. Appreciate him being in church with us. Appreciate his mother and father. They've took on a great burden to help these three girls, and they've been so faithful at it. And they're workers and laborers right here in the kingdom of God, faithful at it. And I see God changing these girls' lives, helping them. I'm thankful for that. They're getting something that they if they hadn't had grandparents like they've got, they'd be lost out in the world. Thank God for His grace that touched their lives. They're up here speaking in tongues and praying and getting good touches of the Spirit of God that'll go with them throughout their lives. I'm so thankful for Brother York and his sister Sandra to help these children like they are. And who else is here? Anyone else that's... it's good to have Brother Dodson. He's no stranger by any means, but we're glad he's here. We appreciate him being here. Praise God. Sister Keys, I'm glad for her. I know this is y'all need to really pray for. I'm telling you, when you're, you know, she's not old, but she's not no young chicken either. And it's hard. The older you get, the harder it is to make change. And she lost her husband here just this year? Is it early this year? She's not through that grief yet. And then for her to move down here to help Shane and Shaney and to have the burden of that and then the burden of trying to have a change. Keep her on your prayer list. Let's keep praying for her that God would help her. And give her strength and help her to be His peace would be on her and that she could feel His strength and help. I feel bad that we hadn't been able to help them have the house, the church house back here fixed up better for her before she got here. We still got, you know, the bathroom's in bad shape. We need to totally remodel it, and there's holes in the floor. I remember when Shane called me one night, he said, "Brother Smith," he said, "there's a rat in here that's 6 or 8, 10 pounds. It's got to be." He said, it's come in here. He said, "What am I going to do?" Well, I found out it was a possum. They just looked, they are of the rat family. It's just a big old... He said, I hit it and knocked it down. He said, "I thought I killed it, but when I come back, it was gone." I said, "It was playing possum." He said, "It was." I said, "Yeah, that's what that means, playing." I said, "But if a possum, if you get after a possum, it'll just fall over and act like it's dead." I said, "All you need to do is pick it up by the tail. It ain't going to hurt you. It's just going to lay there like a dead possum. Throw it out the door." I said, "It'll get up and run off in a little while." He told me the other day, he said, "Brother Smith," he said, "that what you told me about that possum is the right thing." He said, "That thing come in the house," and he said, "I went over there and stomped my foot and it just fell over." He said, "I just picked it up by the tail. It never moved. It just looked like it's deader than a mackerel." He said, "I just throwed it out the door." He said, "In a little while I looked out there and he is gone." But he said, no kidding, Brother Smith, I've killed some 1 and 2 pound rats. Well, they've got some holes over there in the floor. We need to call a work day and get over there and help them and get that fixed and work on that. Brother Shane's not in condition that he could do it, and so I want us to, you brethren, try to help me find a time that we can call, that we could, you know, we don't need 20 guys over trying to fix a hole, but we need some men that knows how to do what needs to be done, and then let's try to get it done as quick as we can for them. Praise God. All right, I'll make this announcement before we take the offering and prayer request. We've had film. There's a film that we've had put on the inside of all the windows in this church. That it's a sort of amazing thing, but you can't break that film. You could take a hammer or a pickaxe outside and hit that window, and you'll break the glass, but you won't go through the film. They said take a couple hours with a pickaxe to knock a hole in that window back there now, big enough to stick your hand through. So we had that done so that nobody could break the glass and reach in there and pull those bars and get in. And then we also have had an alarm system. And there's motion detectors in here throughout the whole building that'll pick you up if you walk in here. And so somebody could hide in this building. And when we go out and lock up, if they start walking around in here, it's going to sound an alarm. And there's a siren outside and inside that's going to go off. And there's also glass breakage alarm. If they do go to beating on the glass, it's going to set off an alarm. And any door that they open is going to set off an alarm. So what does that mean? Well, it means that we're trying to prevent having things stolen. It's a shame a church has to have an alarm system. But we're living in a wicked world. I hated to break down and do it because but I felt like, you know, this is you people's money and your church, and I felt like we need to protect it to be good stewards over the Lord's heritage. And but it's going to take some adjustment, because when we set the alarm, you know, y'all are used to those of you that's got keys that come in here to clean or come in here to have a band practice or choir practice or, you know, whatever. If you put your key in that door and walk in and that alarm's on, it's going to set the alarm off. So right now we're still working on how to do this, but right now call me or Sister Weiniger, and we'll get the alarm turned off for you so you can come in. Most of the time during the day, you know, if there's people here, we don't have to have it on. And we can't even set it where the door alarm's on and the motion detectors are not on. So you can be in here, and if somebody does break in, it'll sound off alarm inside and out. So a person could be in here working or... And if somebody broke in, the alarm would go off, which would be good, because right now it's against the law in the state of Arkansas to have a gun in a church or on church property. So a thief can come in here with a gun, but we can't have one in here to protect ourselves. They're trying to repeal that law. Well, the stipulation that you get around it is if you've got somebody living here and it's a residence, they can have a gun. I already checked in on it. And what they said was, you can have a gun in that room that's considered to be a resident, but don't you walk out of there in the part of this public building with that gun. They got to come in that room after you, and then you can shoot them. I'd rather shoot them before they get in there. No, I'm just kidding. But... anyway, you know, that law is probably going to be repealed because of people getting killed in churches. But anyway, it's going to take some adjustments. So before you come in this building, be sure you've checked with somebody to make sure the alarm's turned off. Now you might say, well, Brother Smith, give us the code. I'm not giving that code out there. If that code's given out to, you know, a bunch of people, it won't be long that the kids in here is going to hear it, and then they're going to tell it, and then everybody's going to know the code to turn the alarms off. I don't think we can do that. Then they'll be left off all the time. People come down here, turn it off, and go back out and forget to reset it, and then we won't have an alarm, and so we might as well not spend the money to get one. So, but what did I tell y'all about iPhones? We can turn it on and off with an iPhone 500 miles away. So just call and we'll turn it off for you. So we are still getting those codes worked out, but we'll have it worked out here in just a few days. But right now, we all got to work together on this. And if you open the door and you think, oh, it's not turned on and I got in here. No, you didn't, because in 30 seconds, it's going to go off. You got 30 seconds to get in the door and get it turned off and get the door locked again. So, anyway, several of the elders will have it, and we'll be able to get it taken care of for you. All right, what about prayer requests? I've got one for Mickey Sims. He's a guy that works out here at River City RV. And his name is Mickey Sims. And he's got asthma so bad that he's really been suffering with it. You know, you normally, and he's 62 years old, and he's really suffering here lately with it. And I told him, he's a Holy Ghost man. I told him, I'm going to have our church pray for you. He said, please do. So I said, I'll request prayer for you. So pray for Mickey Sims. He's got, that God would touch him with this asthma. What else? Somebody, Sister Gaylor. All right. All right. Let's remember that. I think the doctors told her sometimes young girls has this and they never do find out what's wrong. Let's just pray God will remove it, and that way we don't need to find out. Sister Elsie? All right, let's pray for her family, and particularly Brenda, her daughter. Yes, Sister Fisher. Yes, Sister Donna. What's her last name? Henderson. Okay. Let's remember, she's sick tonight. I don't think she's missed, has she, since she's been coming? Yeah. Brother Matthew. All right. Let's pray for Isabel and Elizabeth. Sister Abraham. Remember that. Remember Brother and Sister Gaylor, too. They need a vehicle. Let's be praying about that. Sister Jennifer? All right. Josh and Crystal, let's pray for them. I'd like to see them get in this church, and it's going to take work on all of our parts. I think they'd like to be here, but we're going to have to fish them. We're going to have to love them. We're going to have to get them over for dinner, and we're going to have to go see them. And it's going to take some work to get them landed here. But that family loves God and would like to be saved, but they don't have they're not connected well enough to be able to do it on their own. Sister Keys? All right. All right. Sister Key's daughter. Let's be praying for her. Also, let's keep her niece, Judy, in prayer. She was here, didn't we? Enjoy having her with us. Praise God. It's good to have her. All right. What else? Sister Lacey's not here tonight. Her car's broke down, and she's really having trouble with vehicle also. Yes, Brother Shane. Let's keep praying for him. He's going to... is he going tomorrow, Sister Keys, to the doctor again? MRI on his shoulder, and they're saying he may need surgery on his shoulder. Let's pray God would help him. I'm being patient watching God, because I know Brother Shane, what God's taking him through, if God don't deliver him, then he needs to go through it. You know, God's working in his life in a great way. So let's just keep praying that God will keep him encouraged in whatever God's doing in his life. Somebody else had their Sister Fisher. Right. Hallelujah. Yes, let's keep Brother Valdez in our prayers. Jacqueline and D'Angelo, let's keep praying for them. They're, you know, I think the Lord's really helping them and dealing with them, but they do need some help financially. They're really struggling, so let's pray. Yeah, they really need jobs, is what they need. All right, anything else? Brother Karen and Sister Golden, Curtis and Karen. They are struggling right now, going through some things. Just pray for them. They just need God to help them. They're all right, but they just going through a trial and test, yeah, in the business. Somebody else had their hand up back. Sister Ann. All right, Sister Holly. Yes. All right. All right, let's pray for Sister Lori. She's been, Loriano, isn't it? That she, God would help her. She's talked about coming and just, you know, feeling on this with us. And let's pray that God would move on her and help her to come. Brother DJ? I'm sorry, Kathleen Dobson. Sister Kathleen. Catherine Dobson. Also, Sister Rice and Sister Wilkins. Sister Wilkins really been sick. You know, this is the time of year for ragweed's up real high, and it's time of, you know, anyone's bothered with allergies. Let's pray that God would help us, cover us. All right, Brother, Sister Rachel. All right, pray for Sister Rachel. All right, if the ushers would come, let's stand and let's take these needs to the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness. Oh, Savior, we love you, Lord, and appreciate your care, your protective hand, oh God, and you're working in our lives and our situations in life, oh God. Precious Jesus, oh Lamb of God, touch and meet these needs, oh God, according to your will, Jesus. We accept your wisdom. We accept your way of dealing with each one of them, oh God. We just petition you, Lord, and ask you to heal those that are sick, and touch those that have needs, and work with them in their situations in life, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Dear God, we love you and give you praise, Lord. Touch Brother Shane, Sister Shaney, and Sister Keys and her daughter, Brother D'Angelo and Jacqueline, and each one that we called by name here tonight. The work in the Dominican Republic, Lord, touch those pastors and the saints there, God, help them. And in Haiti, God, touch and meet those needs. In Jesus' precious name we pray, Father. Let me mention something about, you can be seated, about missions. I just want to say something. If we don't keep mentioning it, you won't keep having it in your mind. But I really feel, you know, being a missionary, that having the experience of that, I really feel that really every church ought to be given something. I was just figuring it out today. I was figuring out how, I was figuring this out. If every church in 300 churches gave $50 a month, if 300 churches gave $50 a month, it would be $1 million in 3 years. And that's, you know, I mean, we can't get $10,000 a year for missions, and all the missions that we have. And let's all, you know, we live, I don't care, you might be struggling, but you're living in luxury. If you still pull in a restaurant, if you still whip into McDonald's and Taco Bell, did you know in Haiti they're still living in under tents? They're still eating mush every day for food. They don't have no Taco Bell to go to. They don't have a car to get there. They don't have nothing. And in the Dominican Republic, it's a very, I was talking to Joel coming to church tonight. You can be educated. You can work. I've seen men over there work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week for $100 a month or $200 a month. And groceries are just as high over there as they are here. And gasoline's $4 and $5 a gallon. And automobiles. An automobile here that you could buy for $5,000, it costs $10,000 or $12,000 over there. They're poverty stricken. And if we aren't careful, we're going to shut up. I think God's given us these works because I think God wants to know, what about the bowels of our compassion? Are we going to shut that up? Let's be mindful to give to the mission field. I'm a full believer in this. A church that gives faithfully and liberally to missions will be a blessed church of God, and they'll have finances. He that giveth to the poor, I'll give you a scripture. He that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. I'll give you another one. The Lord owes no man anything. He will repay. God will pay you. If you want to get in a good shape, just start loaning God money. Yeah. You want to get God obligated to you, loan him some money. Give to his poor people. Not just every poor person on the street, but I think we are to have compassion. You got to have wisdom with it, but we've got needs in this church, but it wouldn't hurt us to give, be one of the churches that gives $50 a month. We do. This church gives way more than that. But I just want to remind you that God loves a cheerful giver, and I think we've got an obligation to help the people in the body of Christ that are suffering. I don't think that we are to be living in luxury and not care about them. And what you may think economy's here bad, but it's luxury. If you're living somewhere and you've got central air and heat, hey, they're a lot closer to the equator than we are, and they don't they don't even have electricity. Generally, 6 or 8 hours out of the day, they turn their electricity off. So, much less air conditioning. It doesn't do you any good to have air conditioning because they're going to turn your electricity off anyway. You might as well get used to the heat because you're going to have it whether you want it or not. So, unless you can afford it, you got to be rich. You got to afford a generator and gasoline to run it or whatever kind of fuel runs it. And it's over there. It's the rich and the poor, and most of them are poor. So let's remember our brothers and sisters. So if you give anything in missions tonight, we'll mark it so that they will know. Mark on your checks. I want to give this to missions, but I just wanted to remind you so that we don't get away from giving to missions. And I want to get back to taking up missionary offerings on a regular basis. All right, praise God. I know I'm taking the night, but I had something to say.